Welcome everyone to our service here in the Dublin Unitarian Church in St. Stephen's Green. Welcome to people here in the church and to people logging in on the webcam. And also anyone who happens to log in on the website later on to hear the service later in your own time. A big thank you to our organist, Derek Verso, who is standing in for Josh today. My name is Tony Brady, and once a month or so, a member of the congregation takes the service. There's a tradition here of an open pulpit, and that allows our minister, Reverend Bridget Spain, to relax here in the congregation rather than have to take a service every single week of the year. Our opening words. As the sun rises and paints the sky with colours of dawn, we open our hearts to the wonder of this existence. The rustling of leaves, the chirping of birds, the gentle breeze, the soft rain. May our steps today and always be guided by love and compassion. We give thanks for the gift of this new day, filled as it is with possibilities. We promise to tread lightly upon the earth, respecting all of its creatures. May we have the strength to face life's challenges with grace and the wisdom to cherish each fleeting moment of this existence. May we find purpose and meaning in life. May we become beacons of light and love in this world, as with a heart filled with gratitude, we accept the gift of yet another new day. And now we'll have our chalice lighting. O divine presence, guide us to be bearers of your light. Where silence echoes, let us bring the melody of conversation. Where emptiness reigns, let us fill that space with the warmth of our presence. Inspire us to seek not just company for ourselves, but to be companions to those who find themselves alone. Amen. And now we'll have our first hymn, hymn number 271, Come Down, O Love Divine, 271. Let us pray. In our journey of life, may we be gentle beacons of hope and solidarity, extending hands that draw the lonely and the friendless near to us. May our voices share stories, laughter and comfort. May our eyes see beyond all difference and all barriers to the wonder of our shared humanity. Amen. And now we'll say together the prayer of Jesus, the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our reader today is Nolene.
Thank you, Tony. Good morning, everyone. My name is Nolene Hartigan. I was looking for something appropriate to Mother's Day, and of course the answer is always under your nose, isn't it, in what we affectionately call the new book. This was written by Julia Ward Howe. Many of you will know her as the author of The Battle Hymn of the Republic. She was a pacifist, an abolitionist, a poet, and a Unitarian. And this was written 150 years ago, Mother's Day proclamation. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether your baptism be that of water or of fears. Say firmly, we will not have great questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands shall not come to us reeking with carnage for our caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them then solemnly take counsel with each other as the means whereby the great human family can live in peace. And each bearing after her own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God.
Thank you very much, Nolene. Now, at this point in the service, we have the children's story, which I'll give from here to save any children having to come up to the front. The story today is about a boy who was invisible. I'm sure every child has a wish to be invisible. Just imagine the tricks you could play. Imagine how you'd be able to carry things around. People think the things were moving through the air by themselves. You could hide things, and people wouldn't see you hiding them. It sounds great, but it would be very sad if you really were invisible. Once upon a time, there was a boy called Liam, who seemed to be invisible. The reason was very simple. The other children in his class were much noisier than he was. They were always forced to put up their hands, always forced to volunteer to sing or play games. No one seemed to notice Liam, and he felt very lonely. But one day, a new boy, Jacob, came into the class. Like Liam, Jacob was very shy and quiet. In fact, Jacob was so quiet that the only one in the class who noticed him was Liam. The two boys became great friends. They encouraged each other to speak up, to volunteer, to take part in the activities. And before long, the other pupils realised that these two boys were not invisible at all. Liam and Jacob had many talents, and when they became visible, they made a great difference to their class. They even helped their school win a prize in the Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition. The message of this story is very simple. We need to watch out for people who seem to be invisible. People hidden away in the corner, quiet people, because everyone is special. We've no idea of the wonderful talents people have unless we stop to talk to them and help to make them visible. So now we're going to have our second hymn, number 22. Dear Weaver of Our Lives' Design. Hymn number 22. For my reading today, I have some words from The Poetry Pharmacy by William Seagart. Excuse me. I want to thank Jeanette Mulroy for giving me this. She gave me this reading when she saw the subject of today's service. I firmly believe that there is a child inside all of us. Like all children, this one has trouble communicating its needs. Loneliness is its indecipherable scream for help. But before it will confide in you, before you can begin to offer it comfort, it needs space, gentleness, and encouragement. So talk to your child. Persuade it out of its fears and coax it back towards hope and optimism. For once you know how to listen to your own voice, you will start to recognise that what you took for a black hole inside yourself contained a light source all along, illuminating your path out of loneliness and towards self-acceptance. Words from The Poetry Pharmacy by William Seagart. Let us pray. And after this prayer, there'll be a period of silence, a period for quiet reflection, and that will be brought to an end by Will, who will play some music for us on the piano. The prayer today is by John O'Donoghue, and it's from his book Anam Cara, which you know means soul friend. May you be blessed with good friends. May you learn to be a good friend to yourself. May you be able to journey to that place in your soul where there is great love, warmth, feeling and forgiveness. May this change you. May it transfigure that which is negative, distant or cold in you. May you be brought into the real passion, kinship, and affinity of belonging. May you treasure your friends. May you be good to them, and may you be there for them. May they bring you all the blessing, challenges, truth, and light that you need for your journey. May you never be isolated. May you always be in the gentle nest of belonging with your Annam Cora. Thank you very much, Will. The idea for this address came to me from an article in the New York Times on the subject of loneliness. It said 57% of residents felt lonely, often or some of the time, and 67% felt socially isolated in the prior 4 weeks. Only 1/3 of respondents said they could count on someone for emotional support. And at the same time, 1 in 5 respondents reported symptoms of depression. Now, you might say, this is New York, this is the USA. But according to a 2023 Meta Gallup survey, which was carried out in 140 countries, nearly 1 in 4 people worldwide feel very lonely or fairly lonely. 1 in 4. This state of feeling lonely has to be bad for our well-being. Now, we should say that many people are very comfortable living a life of solitude. And there's no suggestion that they should try to artificially turn themselves into people who are the life and soul of the party. That won't work for them. We're all different. But what we are concerned with here today is loneliness, which is a state of being which is not chosen by the person. It's a situation of feeling alone while at the same time not wishing to be alone. And this feeling of loneliness doesn't necessarily require that we be physically alone. If we lack a sense of companionship and connection, we can feel lonely, even if we're among a crowd of people. The World Health Organization has declared loneliness to be a pressing global health threat. And the US Surgeon General tells us that its effect on mortality is equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. In older adults, loneliness is associated with a 50% increased risk of developing dementia and a 30% increased risk of coronary heart disease or stroke. And it also affects young people. Young people are reported just as lonely in the same research. So what is causing this epidemic of loneliness in our time? Well, we've seen major and rapid social changes, and these situations can contribute to feelings of isolation, not to mention the several years of isolation that we've all experienced due to COVID. We've more urbanisation, increased mobility, a higher population density, more apartment living, and we're living more remotely from our neighbours than we did in times gone by. Many people today don't know the names of their next door neighbours. And just think of the loss of casual neighbourly encounters as we come and go, each of us hermetically sealed in our own cars. And there are other factors as well. People having to relocate for work reasons, more frequent new beginnings, new places. That doesn't help us to create connection. Technology and social media have also played a part. We've less face-to-face, less person-to-person contact. And technology can connect people. It's wonderful. We can video call people across the world. It's a great bonus. It's magic almost. But on a day-to-day basis, technology has reduced our face-to-face contact. We see people, faces stuck in their phones, in buses and trains and trams. And even in restaurants, people can be seen scrolling their phones, even though they're in the company of friends and other people. And then there's the loneliness-inducing effect of social media. Social media allows us to make comparison with others, and this can lead to a sense of inadequacy. We have to remember when we're on social media that we're presented with a sanitised and a highly edited version of the other person. That leaves us with the impression that the other person is more confident, more desirable than we are. Not good for our feelings of connection. And economics are at work as well. We may find ourselves with less time to develop and retain friendships, less time for regular social interaction with other people. So many factors, and all of them leading to one thing, this common feeling of isolation. And notice too how we've developed an increased individualism, less communal living and communal sharing. People in more prosperous conditions can live within their own bubble. They have their own bedrooms, their own televisions, their own computers, their own headphones. And all these gadgets reduce the possibility of interaction with even family, never mind other people. Several countries have recognised the problem of loneliness and social isolation. The UK established a Minister for Loneliness in 2018. I believe this is also under discussion in Australia, the idea of a Minister for Loneliness there. Japan appointed a Minister for Loneliness in February 2023 in response to Japan's increasing levels of suicide. Now, it's good to see that loneliness and isolation are recognised as societal problems, not just a weakness on the part of the individual person. But having said that, the solution is very much in the hands of the individual. It does require an effort on all our parts. Social connection is not going to present itself to us on a plate. We have to make a move. And there's no need for us to feel exceptional or odd or strange at having to make that first move. Everyone has to do it, and few of us find it easy. So let's take a look and see what we might do to break this cycle of loneliness and isolation. And many opportunities for connection. We can take part in activities that we already enjoy, activities that other people enjoy too. We can try new hobbies that bring us into touch with like-minded people. And speaking of other people, it's important that we work to maintain the relationships that we already have, keeping in regular contact with friends and family. Working to develop and maintain meaningful relationships requires some effort, This is part of the price we pay for connection, and it is well worth it. For connection to operate, someone has to make a move, and we shouldn't just leave it to the other person to make that move. We'll find that once we have broken out of our shell, made a move, even a little move, we'll gain confidence and find it easier to break out even more. It's very important too to remember that friendship is not a one-way traffic. In order to have a friend, you need to be a friend. We make friends by being friendly and by being interested in the other person. And as for not knowing the names of our next door neighbours, we need to get to know our neighbours. It's easy to do this without getting in anyone's way. It costs nothing to welcome new people into our apartment block or into our street or road. Fundraising events such as Coffee Morning for Hospice, Community Cleanup, these provide an opportunity for people to come together as well as working for a good cause. And there are simple things too. People like to be asked for help, so we shouldn't try to live so independently. Make an excuse to ask for help in some way. And even the friendly good morning, it helps to create a feeling of community and belonging. And then there's the opportunity for volunteering. So many organisations looking for helpers. We join in order to help other people, but we find in a roundabout way that we benefit by making connections and friendships. We gain more than we give. Scott Hefferman was living in New York City at the time of 9/11. And after 9/11, he and his neighbours came together to meet each other for the first time and to offer support. Scott realised that there had to be a way to connect neighbours with one another outside of a tragedy. He founded an organisation called Meetup, which now exists in more than 190 countries. Came into being after 9/11, now in 190 countries. And Meetup hosts thousands of online and in-person events each day, bringing people together who share a common interest. Anyone can make contact with people with similar interests by joining Meetup, even today. I'm in regular touch with people across the world because of Meetup. All of us, and especially men, find it difficult to establish new connections as the years pass. We don't find the same opportunities as we had when we were in school or in college. The men's shed movement originated in Australia around the 1980s. The movement has spread to many countries across the world, and in 2009 it reached Ireland. And at this stage there are 400 sheds up and down the country where men can meet to socialise and to work on projects. A year ago, a near neighbour invited me to join a local shed. He clearly didn't know me very well because I can't put a nail in a wall. But he reassured me that this shed was a social shed. No work. That was great, no work. Just getting together for talks and outings. Now that turned out to be a great, friendly, supportive community of 30 people. We have 30 people in that shed. Everyone with something different to offer, something different to share. I couldn't recommend it highly enough. So in short, unless you're someone who really enjoys solitude, there's no reason to be alone or to feel alone. So many opportunities to break out of isolation. The simple fact is, we all need people. People need people. And we all have it in our power to help to turn the tide of the loneliness epidemic that's affecting the world. Amen. And now we'll have our third hymn, and at the same time we will have our announcements, to save a little time. The third hymn is number 352, Find a Stillness. Fair trade tea and coffee is served downstairs. Everyone is welcome. And there are copies of Uscult magazine on the table outside. Please take one. Also copies of The Inquirer. There will be a meeting of the managing committee tomorrow evening via Zoom at 7:30. And the usual service of reflection will be online and via the web. And also here in the church, 105 to 135. And thanks to Pam for keeping this going week in, week out. A space where you can come and have a period of reflection in the middle of a busy city, the middle of a busy week. So well done, Pam, for looking after that. Next Sunday is a favourite reading. I think Pam deserves that. Next Sunday is a favourite reading service, and readers and people who might play an instrument are welcome and actually urgently needed. So have a word with Bridget afterwards, please. We have a walking club in the church. Maeve Edwards is going to lead us on a walk at Howth, 11 o'clock on Saturday, 23rd of March. And so, Ward, you can speak. Maeve, put up your hand there so that we can see you. Oh, she's gone down for coffee, so you'll see Maeve below for more information on that. And we have a book club in the church as well. The next book is Marzan, Morn, Mon Amour by Katja Oskamp. And the group meet on Wednesday, 27th of March, in the church, in the vestry below, and on Zoom, beginning promptly at 7:30. Have I left anything out? Is there anything else to be said by anyone? Right. I want to thank everyone who helped with the service. Derek for playing the organ. Will for playing the piano. Thank you, Will. Nolene for her reading. And Kevin and everyone who helped with the service. And don't forget the tea and coffee downstairs, especially if you're new. And now we will have... an important date. Take a note. Sunday the 28th of April, we will have a meeting of the AGM of the church. 28th of April after the service. And before the final blessing now, we will have hymn number 121, We'll Build a Land. And now our blessing. Spirit of creation, ground of all being, for whom we cannot find an adequate name, encourage us in moments of doubt to reach out, to bridge the gaps, to weave the threads of community with patience and perseverance. Bless our efforts to transform solitude into friendship. Help us to turn the tide of separation into a sea of collective strength, so that together we may help build a land and a world of harmony, joy, and a sense of real belonging for every person. Amen.